Good morning, people. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about dyslexia and diet or nutrition or food or whatever you want to call it. We're getting this question pop up a little bit, and I thought I'd share a few thoughts with you. So let's dig into it. Okay, so let's dig into this interesting topic. So this is a topic that many people will come to at some point. With anyone with dyslexia or any of the fantastic and fun challenges like ADHD will come to a point where they question their diet. You know, am I doing what's best for this condition? What's best for both my body and my mind? And what's actually going to make a difference? So I'm going to share a bit of the stuff I've been trialing on myself and experiencing, things that I've been doing for a long time, things that I've been trialing for a short time. And what I think could be valuable to you. You can take from it what you will. All I recommend is you try it on yourself. Now, just to, I don't know how, you know how they always say, I'm not a doctor, go see a doctor. To be honest, I'm not a doctor. Who would have thought? I know you're probably surprised, but I'm not a doctor. So this is really from my personal experience, and I'm just sharing what I've tried over the years that I think has had a valuable consequence on my mind and my ability to function as a human being. So first and foremost, one of the things we look at is how can we improve the way our brain works? You know, how can we give it the most ability? So a couple of things I've tried over the years around this is one is helping my body digest better. Now, this is one of the challenges. You know, you can shove every different pill in your mouth, every nutritional supplement, but if your body isn't processing any of that stuff and it's just, in essence, going through you, or you're getting such a small bite of it, it can be very not valuable, shall we say. So one of the things I've been doing for a long time, or when a long time for me, you know, with us, a long time could be 3 days. In my case, this one's about a year, is I've been drinking a lot of kombucha. I've tried kefir. I didn't really like it, if I'm honest. But I've been drinking a lot of kombucha. I'm trying to get my gut bacteria improved so that I'm actually able to digest the different foods I'm eating better, and also any of the nutrients or nutritional supplements that I take. So that's one key thing, and I think it's important is make sure you've got a good base there. Secondly, probably the most consistent thing I take is omega-3. Now, I take it through a real high-strength krill oil. Some of the omega-3 fish oil is not as valuable as people think. It's not as easily absorbable, and it's also, from what I understand at least, it's not as easily accessible in many cases. Now, every pill you look at will be slightly different in most cases. So some will have had some awesome technical shit done to it. And then, you know, you've got to read the packaging, have a look, just flick over it, Google, research, and have a look. But one of the interesting studies I read recently was around, there are two parts to fish oil. There's EPA, and I believe it's DHA. Now, DHA is usually the one that stands out to most people, but in a study that was done on kids with ADHD and dyslexia, they found EPA might actually have more of an effect on things like frustration, emotional outbreaks, and other things like that, which I found really interesting because I'd always looked at the DHA side of things because it seems to be more prevalent, shall I say. Both of them usually will feature, but DHA seems to be the one people look at. So that's just something to consider. You know, I take this daily when I remember. I'm dead honest. I think anyone who says, I always take it every single day of my life, you know, probably is lying. So I forget. I do forget. But I'd probably say I would have it 5 times a week, realistically. I take about 1,000 milligrams. And on some days, if I've forgotten the day before, I'll take 2 capsules. It's not harmful in higher doses, so you can take it like that. Whether it means anything good, I don't know, but I do it. And I do believe it just does balance me a little bit. So I continue to take it because the research backs it up. So that's the first thing. The second, you know, the second thing, kombucha is the first thing. That's the second thing. The third thing I did a long time ago, and that has had a bit of a way of, you know, just directing my life around what I eat. Because, you know, if your body feels bad, you know, we have a challenge where it can be very emotionally unsettling. So it's not just about your brain. Like if you know you've gone out and had a big night and you've eaten way more than you should. You've kind of let your mind go away from itself, and you've just shoveled food in, or you've just let yourself go for one evening. You know, you can be completely out of balance the next day. I don't know about you, but it can really take a good morning and a bit to recover. And that's not even including alcohol. You throw that in the mix, and I will do a podcast on that. That's my next one on the list. But it's, you know, it will kind of affect you massively. So it's really important, I believe, to start understanding what your body actually is. So your mind is one piece of it, but your mind is fueled by what your body takes in, how it processes it, how it's built. Now, not two of us are exactly the same. You know, my body shape is probably different to yours. Maybe it's the same, maybe it's not, but we're very likely to be different. Like I'm nearly 6 foot. I like to say 6 foot, but I'm probably 5'11". You know, I'm a big build. People can't tell my weight. It's usually heavier than people realize. And I'm, you know, I'm just built that way. It's kind of my formula of body. So what I did, I was very lucky actually, probably about 4 or 5 years ago, to go and actually go to a DNA nutritionist. Her name was Elaine Bracefield is the last name I'm thinking of. And she was based in New Zealand, but they're all around the world if you Google DNA nutrition. Now, what these guys can do is they can actually, and this has probably improved since I did it, is they can actually take some of your DNA and look deep inside it to tell you what different, they call it biomarkers, I believe, that actually you're predisposed to. So one that always sticks out to me is they do one on caffeine and one on salt. You know, is salt something, you know, basically, like I was told, don't have too much salt was one of my biomarker. Some people actually can have more salt. They need more salt. And there's actually something they can tell in your DNA about that. Same with caffeine. Like I'm a real fast metabolizer of caffeine, so I can drink caffeine without it affecting my body. The other things around how your liver works, you know, what processes work, they could even actually tell you what diet is best for you. So for me, it was actually the Mediterranean diet, you know, high in omega-3 in fish. Who would have thought? Olive oils, avocado, stuff like that's going to make my body process better. So that was really valuable. Then about 2 years ago, I did a secondary DNA sampling test, which actually told me kind of what foods would affect my my body. Now, this was quite enlightening. You know, I did it with my partner, and she did it you know, herself, and she found eggs were a big thing for her, and she cut them out and she felt better. You know, it was a massive thing. She kind of always knew it was there, but you know, when you get some real DNA, you know, get some real honest advice that's factual about you, you're more likely to try it and listen to it. For me, I had beer. I'm not joking. Barley, well, maybe not beer, but barley was on my list. And if you've ever met me, I'm addicted to malt vinegar. I love malt vinegar. And I also enjoy a beer. So I've kind of, again, I learned about this. And what I've noticed is I do understand it now. So I do spend times cutting it all out. You know, I'm not a saint. I do have it from time to time, but I know if I'm going to do it, I'm at least aware of why I'm going to feel like crap the next day. And that's important. And I think, you know, you can then judge your life. You know, if you know you're going to go and do it, that's fine. But at least you understand why. And then for the rest of the week, I'll drink vodka soda if I want to drink or whatever it is, because it cuts down on that downtime. Because when your body is out of kind of sync, your mind is, you know, it's going to run away on you. You know, I was listening to a great podcast the other day around it, and they said you've got three areas of stress. You got environmental, emotional, and chemical. That's the three, I believe. And you know, if you've got two of them kind of lined up, the third will come around. So like, if your physical and emotional kind of context is correct, the third will come back into alignment a lot easier. But what happens to a lot of us is we have all three going off in different directions and none of them are lined up, and it can be painful. So it's really important to start to understand your physical body. You know, it's a lot of us are naturally attuned to asking why we do things. Like, why should I do that diet? Why should I do this? Why should I do that? And I think with stuff like this DNA nutrition that's coming up, it's going to better help us to understand who we truly are in our bodies and what we should be trialing. Because there's no point in jumping from diet to diet to diet if you
want to feel more energy or feel better if you don't know how your body's going to process it. There's like, if I know that avocado is going to be a massive benefit to me along with salmon, you know, I should go down that track. There are some people who are really predisposed to processing meat. You know, some people are really built that way and their body is really highly efficient at it. There are other people who are much, much more plant oriented people who really don't process red meat or chicken or anything like that very well. So, starting to understand that's really cool. So Google DNA nutrition, it's really interesting. And look at the different tests. You've got basically two types. There's the real intense tests that I did first. And then there's more of the what are you allergic to? What are you not predisposed to? Both are valuable. The second one is cheaper. The first one's a bit more expensive, but it's very, very interesting. Now, when it comes to, you know, the thing, what you'll find if you do your research on dyslexia, everyone has different things they think work. What you notice is the lack of empirical evidence. People haven't done these massive studies on nutrition for dyslexia. They just haven't done them. You know, where's the money in it? And I know this is sad to say, but this is the kind of world we live in. Where is the money in it? And it just doesn't seem to exist. So the studies have been tagged on to things like ADHD studies, where they seem to have done a little bit more. But it's really comes down to knowing your body, understanding it, I think, in who it is and what it is and how you can best give it the nutrients it requires. You know, we can put up a post and you can get 50 different suggestions on what you should try. And you know, you could sit there and look like a pharmacy in your kitchen, you know, popping pills left, right, and center. And the challenge there is that you don't know which ones are actually working. Do you know what I mean? There's no base, you know, there's no true baseline. For me, truly, like I've tried a bunch of stuff. Like I definitely find magnesium helps me at night, to sleep. I've tried melatonin, didn't do a huge amount for me, but for others, they've really enjoyed it. So you kind of got to test your body out in a safe way. What I do suggest is if you are going to try one thing, try it for a month. Don't go and buy everything you see on the health websites. Try one thing at a time and see what the effect is. What I usually suggest is trying to overdose is not in a bad way. Don't get me wrong, like fish oil or vitamin C, it's very hard to overdose on, just for example. But you know, really build the stock back up in your body if you don't think you've been eating it. You know, and just continue to try things. You know, enjoy the process, enjoy the flow of testing and measuring on yourself. You know, we are naturally experimenters and scientists. You know, don't be scared to test something. You know, make sure it's safe, but don't be scared to test something. And just see how it affects you. You know, you're going to find out pretty quickly. But what I would say is the last thing I'll share in this podcast is when your body is stressed, and a lot of us live in survival mode, and we're going to be doing some more podcasts on this. When your body is living in survival mode, you know, we feel like we're being chased by a lion all the time. Someone says something to us, our emotional reactions react, our chemical cortisol levels go up, and all these things happen to our body. And when we're in survival mode, we're actually breaking down. We're not growing. And what you will find, and what we're going to try and do more and more of, is help you lower those stress levels. Because if those stress levels are heightened for, you know, over 50% of the day, you know, your body is not in a good place. And nutrition is a part of keeping those down, making sure there is the right nutrition there, making sure you are getting the sleep. I know it's all boring stuff, but starting to kind of build this into your life will help you when we do some more podcasts in the near future about using your mind to lower your stress levels. So that's what I want to share on nutrition and food. Stay tuned for tomorrow. I'm going to dig into alcohol because I've got some very interesting perspectives on how alcohol affects dyslexia for good and for bad. So I hope you've enjoyed the episode and have an excellent day.